Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Start with the walking wounded, the injury list. What do we know about guys that, were extremely injured throughout the preseason, like Williams and Delpit? Treader's missed time as of late. Clowney was ill. OBJ, what can you tell us on the walking wounded?
Yeah, I think most everybody's going to be able to go. You know, they listed a lot of guys as questionable, including pretty much everybody you mentioned, except Greedy Williams. He's listed as he's going to play. I expect everybody to play. I would leave Grant Delpit is maybe the most likely exception just because he dealt with the hamstring for pretty much, you know, most of training camp. He didn't play at all last year. Maybe they'd be careful with him and don't ask him to play this week. So maybe that, you know, I could say that's 50-50. You know, Odell, I fully expect to play. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. But the team is just, I don't know exactly why they're listing him as questionable, even though, you know, he has been limited, but he's looked great. They've been ramping him up. I think they just want to be cautious without saying he's going to play when, you know, something could happen between now and game day. But I fully expect to see Odell out there for, you know, maybe 50% of the snaps, and I expect him to have an impact.
Good news on most of those fronts there, Scotty. So let's move along then to last year's game. And I listened to you guys all week long in the various press conferences where you talked to coaches and players and you asked them about last year's game. How much of a factor do you think that is, regardless of what they may be saying, Scotty, as far as revenge or feeling they let one slip away, or have they indeed let it go?
No, I think it still serves as motivation. And I do think there's a balance there between being obsessed with it and not being able to, you know, turn the page. And Myles Garrett talked about that today. Yeah, you have to move on, but it's always kind of in the back of your mind, and you use it as fuel. And I've gotten the sense that this team is using it in the correct way, that, yeah, this is a team that knocked us out. And coincidentally, we're going to play them in the next game, right? So it's got to be fresh on your mind because the game film you're watching in preparation is them beating you from a year ago. So, you know, I think it's about finding the right balance, not being, you know, overly amped up to go get revenge, so to speak. But it's certainly in this game, I don't think there's any doubt. And I forgot one injury, Kenny. They added kicker Chase McLaughlin after practice as questionable with a hamstring injury. So, you know, it's always a bad sign to get added after practice, right, because he went through practice, was a full participant. I would say there's a chance that they have to call up the rookie that they signed to the practice squad a week ago.
We'll keep an eye on that on Sunday morning when they announce the inactives. Scotty, both teams made a lot of moves this offseason. The O-line is all new for Kansas City. The defense is basically new for the Browns. Who had the better offseason, in your opinion, as you've been analyzing this?
I'd go the Browns, and part of that's because they had farther to go, right? I mean, their defense was not good a year ago. We all know the issues. We all know the injuries. And, I mean, time, you know, Kansas City's Kansas City, right? They went to the Super Bowl. Now, we did watch that Super Bowl, and that offensive line got exposed. They were dealing with injuries. They didn't have either tackle going into that game. But they have five new starters, and if you're the Browns, I think you're saying, okay, how can we exploit that, number one? And number two, three of those guys are going to be rookies. The center, the right guard, and the right tackle are all rookies. And I know they played a bunch in the preseason, which the Browns didn't play their starters. And I know it's Andy Reid and it's Patrick Mahomes. But I think if you're the Browns, you go, okay, that's a matchup where maybe we can win this game. We have Myles Garrett. We have Jadeveon Clowney. Malik Jackson inside. JOK blitzing. If we get to Patrick Mahomes, you know, this is Browns talking, if they can get to Patrick Mahomes enough to get him to get rid of the ball early, or make a quick throw where he doesn't want to and he throws an interception, you know, that's how you can get to the best quarterback in the league, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the way to beat Kansas City, Scott Petrak, is with an elite pass rush that Tampa Bay showed last year in the Super Bowl. Do you think Andrew Berry watched that Super Bowl intently because he knows the way to the Super Bowl is through Kansas City, and that's how he addressed his offseason?
Well, I think it had part to do with it. You know, adding speed and size and length helps against everyone, but it helps against Patrick Mahomes. It helps against Lamar Jackson, who you have to beat in your own division. You know, the defensive line dominating and being able to create pressure with just your front four, I mean, that's been a recipe forever, right? That's how the Giants beat New England the two times they beat New England in the Super Bowl. Is they had those four guys that could get pressure. You can drop seven, and that frustrates a quarterback. So I think that makes sense. I think that's one of the things Andrew Berry tried to address in the offseason. Now, Mahomes is special because he can get out of trouble. And, you know, when I keep flashing back to that Super Bowl, there was instant pressure in his face, and yet he still escaped. He still would try to make something happen. So just because you beat your offensive lineman, you know, if you're Myles Garrett, doesn't mean the job's over, right? You got to then go get Mahomes and bring him down or make him throw the ball when he doesn't want to. So it's obviously an advantage, but, you know, I'm such a fan of Mahomes that just because you get a pass rush does not mean you've defeated him.
Scott Petrak, our guest via the Wake 'Em Way hotline. Follow him on Twitter, at Scott Petrak. And, Scotty, I found it really interesting this week listening to Joe Woods, and I wrote it down because I thought it was apropos. He said, when you play the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes with our defense, we tell guys you not only have to cover your guys once, but you're going to have to cover your guys twice because the original play that Mahomes is looking to go to may get disrupted. And then he comes up with a second play, and therefore, you know, there's a second chance with that same receiver that he could hook up. Do you think the Browns secondary is ready for that challenge of having to cover guys not once but twice on one play?
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard thing to ask, right? I think the Browns are in much better position this year than they were a year ago. I like Greg Newsom. I don't think that means he's going to hold Tyreek Hill to no catches, right? Because that's as tough a matchup as you're going to find in this league. But I like Newsom paired with Ward. I like John Johnson III and Ronnie Harrison at safety. I think John Johnson III's a big upgrade at the back end of that defense. So I think they're in a better spot. But Woods is exactly right. I mean, that's what makes one of the things that makes Mahomes so tough. And then on top of that is he has the huge arm. So not only does he extend the play, he can throw it 60 yards down the field after he's extended the play, and instead of giving up a 10-yard completion, you give up a 60-yard touchdown, right? So that's John Johnson III, so that's the main thing he's focused on is I cannot let anyone get behind me. And not only does Mahomes make that tougher, Tyreek Hill makes it tougher because he's, you know, one of the, if not the fastest, one of the fastest guys in the league.
Scotty, we've spent so much time in this interview already talking about pass defense. What about the Browns' run defense? What can you tell me about that from what you've seen in practice in the preseason games, if anything? And are they better this year than they were last year?
Yeah, I think it'll be better. I mean, if you look at the stats, the run defense was not as big a problem last year as it usually is. But they have a whole new defensive tackle room than they did a year ago. You would assume Andrew Billings is an upgrade. I think Anthony Walker Jr. is an upgraded middle linebacker. I don't know how much it comes into play against the Chiefs because the Chiefs, I expect to throw the ball all over the field. But for the season, I think they're going to be better. But again, I think it's a team thing where the Browns are going to try to get on top of teams early, right? And then, you know, and they probably do a throw on the ball, and then it's turn it over to the run game, turn it over to your pass rush. So, you know, I think they're in a better position, but and I know, you know, we can't sleep on the run defense, but I do think the upgrades in the pass defense are so crucial to where this team wants to go.
Scott Petrak, our guest, does a great job as the Browns beat reporter at brownzone.com. Go make that website one of your favorites so you get the up-to-the-minute news on your Cleveland Browns for what should be an exciting 2021 season. Let's turn our attention to the Browns offense, Baker Mayfield and company. Managing the game is something I think he learned to do last year in getting the ball to all of his playmakers. But Odell Beckham Jr. is back this year, and that's another weapon that you have, but also another mouth to feed, if you will. How does Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield keep everybody happy on that offense, Scotty?
Yeah, I think it's by scoring a ton of points, Kenny, because that's the only way you're going to be able to do it, is to get the ball in everybody's hands. And I think it is throwing it early and getting Odell involved and getting Jarvis Landry involved and getting a lead. I would not be surprised if they came out not only against Kansas City, but, you know, for the season, and threw early, got a lead, and then said, let's turn it over to Chubb and Hunt, right? And then you mix in the pass, and then you can take some shots downfield. It feels like there needs to be that effort to get everyone involved. And you're right. I mean, I think Odell is a huge benefit to this offense, having him back. I think he brings something that nobody else on this roster brings. But that is a guy that you have to pay attention to when there's so many of those other guys on the roster.
One of the things I wrote down besides Joe Woods talking about defending guys twice was this from Baker Mayfield on continuing his success from last year when you guys interviewed him. I think it was on Wednesday. I need to use the mentality I had in the second half last year and find the open guy. Not force the ball to the diva receiver, find the open guy. Is he going to be able to do that now that that diva receiver, we're all expecting him back to go? Can he be the same Baker Mayfield he was in the second half when he was so successful?
Well, I think I transcribed that, Kenny. I don't remember transcribing diva receiver. So you must have gotten a different interview than I did. I think Baker can be the same quarterback. I really do. I think he matured. I think he's matured overall, and I think he gained so much confidence from the second half of last season and the win in Pittsburgh. And even how he played in Kansas City. I thought Baker played pretty well in Kansas City in that playoff loss. I think he's gained so much from that. I think Odell recognizes that. I think Odell should and does recognize that the offense has changed a little bit and he's not, you know, option A and B and C. So right. I understand why it's a focus, and I understand it's a question, and I'm not saying we should ignore it. We should pay attention to it. But I think Odell's going to fit in fine, and I think Baker is in a position to handle that pressure.
All right, so offensively, we hear this a lot when you play Kansas City. You should be – they're known for their offense, not so much their defense, but it's pretty good. But one of the ways to beat Kansas City is to keep Patrick Mahomes, that offense – off the field. So does Kevin Stefanski call his normal offensive game, or does he want to try and use a ball control offense to keep Mahomes in that KC offense off the field?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kenny. I think he leans toward normal offense. Not that they won't run the ball a lot. I mean, you know, that's their identity, is the run and the play action. It's only been 1 year with Stefanski as coach and play caller. But I did not get the sense last year that he was going to go to a quote-unquote stall ball, where he was going to try to milk every second off the play clock to take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I just never got the sense that he was willing to go that far. And I think part of that is because he trusts his offense. And he says, we're going to score points. Now, should he have trusted his defense that much? We can argue about that. So, you know, if the Browns get a lead, yes, they're going to milk the clock. But I don't think they're going to kind of transform what they normally do. I think they believe they can go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs.
Interesting. I think this is going to be a high-scoring affair. May come down to who has the ball last, kind of like last night's game with Tampa Bay and Dallas, as to who will win this game. So let's do this. Defensively, Scotty Petrak, who must have a big game defensively if the Browns are going to get a win?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably too easy to say Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, but it starts with them, and we talked about that pass rush. And then give me one of the corners. I don't care if it's Denzel Ward or Greg Newsome. The matchups that you have, and Tyreek Hill's the main one, you got to win enough of those, right? And you can't – I mean, this game, the Browns could dominate, but if Tyreek Hill runs by a corner twice for big touchdowns, it's not going to matter. So those are the three guys I would focus on.
All right, I'm going to throw one other name your way. As far as KC goes, and tell me who's going to cover him. Travis Kelce. I think in the playoff game last year, we saw Denzel matching up with him somewhat. Well, if that's the case, then who covers Tyreek Hill? So how do they do this with one of the best tight ends in the game?
Oh, I think you're going to see a little bit of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, you know, the rookie. They drafted him because they love this coverage. Now, that's a the hard welcome to the league, just like Hill is for Newsom. But you're going to see JOK on Kelsey at some points in this game. I think you might see Ronnie Harrison on Kelsey. Now, I think in a normal situation, Grant Delpit could fit that role too. I'm just not sure if that's his first NFL action after missing all of last season and most of camp is, hey, if you're on the field for 10 snaps, go cover Travis Kelsey. I think the Browns would probably use him in a different way. So I think it's JOK. I think it's Ronnie Harrison Jr. And maybe, not maybe, I would expect one of the corners in certain packages to say, okay, Kelsey's my guy. But even for them, it's tough. We saw Denzel Ward look bad on a Kelsey touchdown in the playoffs a year ago.
All right, I'm thinking about this game, and I'm saying to myself, and I don't know if the players and the coaches ever talk about it this way, but tell me if I'm off my rocker in thinking this. If you're the Browns and on defense you're facing Kansas City and you give up anything but a touchdown, isn't that a win for you against Kansas City's offense? Meaning if you give up field goal, fine. If, you know, they gain a lot of yards but don't score, fine. As long as you don't give up touchdowns, if you're able to do that, that helps you win this game.
Oh, my gosh. All day long, Kenny. All day long. And I think it flips on the other side where you say, okay, if you're the Browns offense, how many times do you go for it on fourth down as opposed to kicking a field goal? And take the Browns kicking situation out of it. It's the point right. of we need 7 points, right? This game is going to be won by touchdowns. If we're going to get to, you know, I say we talking, you know, if this is a Browns thinking. If they're going to get to 35, you're not doing that with 12 field goals, right? So right. I think it works on both ends.
Yeah, I think you have to take the approach like you just said and what the Eagles did when they beat the Patriots. You can't beat Tom Brady kicking field goals, right? Philly special, they went for it. I think with the questionable kicking thing, maybe makes the decision easier for Kevin Stefanski on going for it on fourth down. So I think that might play into him being more aggressive in this game, Scotty. So give me keys to a win for the Browns if they're going to do something they haven't done since 2004, Scotty Petrak, and that's win a season opener. The Browns haven't done that since Jeff Garcia beat the Ravens. What do they have to do?
Passers, I think you have to turn over the Chiefs, right? So your defense has to get, I would say, at least two because you're not going to force. I mean, the Browns didn't force them to punt in the playoffs. So you got to get the ball. You got to keep them from scoring however way to, you know, however you can do it. And turnovers swings the momentum. So give me that. I think offensively, you need to start fast. They weren't able to do that a year ago, and you're playing catch up, and it's hard to play catch up against it. Team, the Browns couldn't do it. You know, Chad Henne was in the game for, you know, the final quarter and a half. So start fast, get a couple turnovers on defense, and then be really successful in the red zone. And the Chiefs' defense was bad in the red zone last year. So, you know, if that holds, then the Browns will have a chance to go, score seven instead of three because they're right, they cannot win this game settling for three. It's just impossible. You need to get, you know, I mean, I got the Browns losing 34-31. So to get to 31, you got to score four touchdowns, and that still might not be enough.
Yeah, I'll give mine away right now. I said this yesterday, Scotty. I got it going to overtime, tied at 28 at the end of regulation, and Kansas City getting the ball first in overtime and winning 34-28. But I think if it's a game like we're talking about, even if the Browns do lose, that'll be a positive thing, showing that they could go on the road for the second straight year and still be there and then build to get better in case they face them again in the playoffs, Scott Petrak.
I completely agree, Kenny. I think that would be, obviously, you know, there's no moral victories, but that would be the type of game where the team would feel better. I think the fan base would feel like all their excitement was kind of rewarded. Okay, now you can go on a winning streak, right? You go beat Houston, you go beat Chicago, you get on a roll. And, you know, the young people listening might not remember this, but 1986, the Browns opened against Chicago coming off that Super Bowl win for Chicago. And the Browns played them pretty close and then went on to that AFC Championship game. And that felt like a huge confidence builder back then. And I think a close loss like we've talked about could also serve the same thing for this team.
That's great insight right there. And you get that each and every day at brownzone.com or on Twitter at Scott Petrak. He is Scotty Petrak. We always appreciate the time. Keep up the fantastic work. Enjoy the game, the season. We'll talk to you again next Friday. All right, Scotty?
Thanks a lot, Kenny.